Now, there's been a lot of times in my life where I feel like I've had to go without. When I was growing up, as I've said before, we grew up in poor circumstances. And my mom was always making sure we had kind of the stuff that we needed. We had clothes, but it wasn't necessarily the newest clothes or even great clothes. We had food. It wasn't always the healthiest food or the freshest food. But she made sure that we always had the basics and we always had the things that we needed. But even as a kid, I could really feel this impact of because we were poor, because we didn't have a lot of money, there was a lot of things that I was going without. There was a lot of things that I wanted that I just couldn't have. And eventually even got to the point where I stopped wanting things that I felt would be pushing this envelope a little bit, because I knew inside of me that I was just going to have to go without some things. And I think when I grew up and I started to get into more and more financial stability, I kind of unconsciously developed this habit of liking to collect things. And maybe I would have been a collector all the way through, I don't know. But now I'm very much a collector. I collect toys, I collect books, I collect movies. Anything that I can get a lot of different things of, I like collecting them. And like I said, maybe that grew out of this poverty mindset. Maybe not, I don't know. But right now I'm very much a collecting person, and I love collectibles, I love trinkets, I love doodads. I wouldn't say I'm a sentimental person necessarily, but I am a like looking and fidgeting with little things kind of person. But a lot through my life, I had to go without. I had to choose to not miss things and not want things because I knew that they just weren't accessible. And it caused a lot of difficulties for me in life. It caused a lot of struggles and a lot of problems where I'd hit that wall where it's like, but this is something I want. Or even this is something that I need, but I can't. I feel like I've got to go without. And that can really weigh heavily on you. And in that same vein, one of my absolute favorite worship songs is this song called Hear Now Madness by Hillsong United. And after the service, I'll be posting the link to the lyric video on Facebook if you want to check it out, or you can just search YouTube for Hear Now Madness by Hillsong United. It is a wonderful, wonderful worship song. But the idea of the song is that in all the crazy things going on in the universe and in life and in all the problems and all the fears and everything going on, we have this one thing that we know, and we know that God is here now. And then that's enough. And that's very much where God touches my heart in a real way, is this idea that no matter what's going on in life, no matter what's going on in my house or outside of my house, in the world, in the country, whatever, that all this chaos and disorder and confusion, that I know that God is here now, and that's enough for me. And we're all feeling very isolated right now, isolated from the church, isolated from each other. What relationships do you miss that you realize that you really needed? What people did you just get used to seeing on a daily basis, even if you never had super meaningful connection or contact with those people? What relationships do you now sit back and go, you know, I don't have this relationship right now, and I really needed this. Well, what kind of people or structures were integral to your daily mental health? And going to church is no different. For many of us, this has been an integral part of our lives. I know some people in our church and in other churches who have been going to church longer than I've even been alive. And we're living in this unprecedented time. Every time I have a conversation with someone, no matter how old they are, if they're young or if they're senior or if they're past retirement age, they're all saying the same general thing. I don't remember the world ever being like this. I don't remember things ever being like this. And we feel like we're on the outside of everything. We feel like we're locked out of everything, outside of church, outside of our relationships and our structures and our comfort. And it's absolutely amazing that we somehow feel so locked out when we've been locked in. And I think God has something to say about this. And this is going to be a series that's going on for a little while. And I'm hoping that we all come out of this not only taught, but challenged and changed to do something with this information. Now, some Pharisees were having this conversation with Jesus, and they asked him a simple question. They said, when is the kingdom of God coming? Now, I know the question's a when, but there's a specific context, a specific way of seeing the world that the Pharisees bring to the table that we need to understand here. And that their connection to God, their idea of serving and worshiping God, it was foundationally tied to these two ideas. And the first is this physical space on earth called the temple. For the Jews, their entire religion revolved around this temple that Solomon had built. And the temple was absolutely foundational to their identity as a Jewish people, because for them, the temple was the place where God was on earth. That if you wanted to know where he was, you just looked towards the temple. And so they had this very concrete idea that if we want to know where God is, there's a space attached to it. And it's a physical place on earth. But the second, and it's more of an intellectual and religious connection, is that their identity as Jewish people was tied to this system of doing things repetitively, of this religious system, following exact patterns that they felt were representations of their spiritual life, and that they needed to follow them faithfully and exactly to the letter. And this was, these two things were extremely important to the Pharisees, this idea of a physical, tangible place on earth where God resided. And the second was an exact pattern that they were supposed to be following faithfully and repetitively, not changing anything and just doing it over and over and over again. And so this was their context of what God's work in the world looked like. And so when they're asking the question, when is the kingdom of God coming? It doesn't seem like Jesus actually answers their question, but really, he's cutting through to the heart of the matter and he's giving them what they need rather than what they're simply asking for. And so we're going to read from the Bible here, Luke 17, verses 20 to 21, and it says this. Once, on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is in your midst." And so before we unpack this verse a little bit, I have a question. And the question is this: how much is our concept of church defined by a place where we go? How many times have we said, "You know what, I can't go to church, but I can watch the service online. I can't be a part of church, but at least I can still receive some teaching and worship"? How many times have we tied the definition of church to a physical place? Because Jesus's concept of the kingdom was never a place you could point at. It was never a place that you could look at something and say, that place is where the kingdom is. Jesus literally says, it's not something where you can say, here it is or there it is, that it's in our midst. So we need to understand that about how Jesus sees the church. Now, I titled this message, Church on the Outside. And there's something that I want us to understand here. And this is the concept that we're going to be pushing for the next couple of weeks. And it's that we are a church on the outside, but we are not outside a church. And so being completely honest, our church services aren't going to be the first thing that's allowed to open up. That when the government is talking about reopening businesses and reestablishing connections and the economy and everything, we've all been having conversations in the background as pastors, and we understand that church services aren't going to be the first things that are allowed to open up. We don't know when things are going to be opening. It is a crazy time that we're all living in. But we exist uniquely, that we're this entity where our functioning is tied to this gathering large groups of people together in this one place. And gathering large groups of people together in one place isn't really on the game plan for the world. And that's a tough place to be. It can be a really stressful place. But if we rest ourselves first and foremost in this idea that Jesus says, the kingdom is not going to be over there. The kingdom is not going to be a place that you can point at and say, that's where the kingdom is. So if I can't get there, I can't, obviously not in the kingdom. Our church doesn't have to be waiting for a place to open up. In fact, our church shouldn't be waiting for a place to open up. That's Jesus' entire point. We don't have to go to a place with walls to be in church. We can create the kingdom right where we are. And so what I can tell you about things opening up is this. A lot of what I'm seeing through research, through reading news articles, one of the first things that they are going to start opening up, and I believe that the government's even said, next week we're going to be bringing a new announcement about this. But one of the first things that is going to start opening up is our homes. Our friends, our families, that we're going to be allowed to start expanding our own little bubbles a little bit. And that's great news for a lot of us. If you're a social person, the idea that our bubbles are going to expand a little bit and that you can start bringing more people into your world is a great thing. So if the truth is that we can create the kingdom right where we are, that we don't have to wait for a place to open up to be called church, then that's what we're going to do as a church. And so church on the outside, this phrase that we're going to be talking about over the next couple of weeks, church on the outside just means this, that we are going to do church on the outside. And so our vision for the next little while is this, that when we're allowed to, in respect to the government and their recommendations and their rules and everything, that when we're allowed to expand our bubbles in our homes, when we're allowed to bring in family, when we're allowed to bring in friends, when we're allowed to have those smaller gatherings and those smaller groups, we're going to open up and we're going to start building small churches. That we as a church structure and leadership, this thing that we call Parkland Pentecostal Church, that we can tie to a physical location on earth over on Hemlow, that we're going to try and support you and equip you as much as we can through this time. But you already have the biggest, greatest thing on your side already, and that is God. And that is a great reason to hope. But this is where we're moving as a church, and this is where lots of churches through the world are moving, is understanding that we may not have our buildings, but we have our people. So let's start building church again. Except instead of waiting for a place to open up on earth, we're taking the open places that we already have and we're filling them up and calling these things church. And I'll tell you this much. You're sharing a great experience with a lot of other people from the past. This is how the early church functioned, in homes, getting together in meals. Lots of the first churches that were ever planted were planted inside of people's homes. So we're standing in this great spiritual legacy. Even our identity as Pentecostals. This is how the Pentecostal movement in the 20th century even started, with people like William J. Seymour meeting in their homes and watching as the Holy Spirit comes in and just comes with power and awesomeness. We've gotten so used to expecting the Holy Spirit to only move in a church service. But he can do it in our homes. He can do it anywhere. That the kingdom of God is not a place. It's a thing that we build amidst ourselves. And so we're seeing circumstances like the early church saw, that we're having a great difficulty, a great attack almost on our way of understanding how things are done, on our identity and the things that we're always used to. We may not be getting them for the same reasons that the early church did, but we can relate to a lot of the suffering and a lot of the anguish that they went through as an early society. And the truth is that this is exactly where God works best. That the early church, they were meeting in small groups, they were meeting close together. And even when they were tied to this physical place called Jerusalem, this persecution broke out and they got scattered across the Roman Empire. And if you know your story in Acts, what happened next is that the early church exploded. That it started seeing massive amounts of growth. It started in homes and it exploded across the world. Anyone on earth now who calls themselves a Christ follower stems from this original movement that started in homes. So this is where we're going to restart as a church, so to speak, by opening our own homes, by not waiting for another place to open up and realizing that we can make a church right where we are. A part of the church, that we're still part of this global thing called the church. And the truth is that we know that God is with us, and we know that we're walking in the footsteps of spiritual giants that came before us. And so I said on Facebook prior to this message that things are going to be a little bit different with this series. And they will be, because it's not going to be just about me. We've all got work to do. I've had a couple conversations about this idea of doing church in the house with different pastors and district people. And we all have kind of this same idea, which is that this is beyond just inviting a couple people in to watch a service once a week, that we're still on mission. We're still doing something for the kingdom, that God is still moving and changing things in the world. The root of this gospel message is the idea that God sees the brokenness and the pain in the world, and he's doing something about it. And so we're joining into this idea that God sees the pain and brokenness in the people around us, and he's doing something about it, and we're joining in with him. That we want to see this mission continue. That it's not just another theater waiting for church to open up, so we're getting a couple people together and watching a service on Sunday. That it goes way beyond that, and that we join into the mission and understand that we can live out the life and the goal of the church right where we are, right from our own homes. So I want to pitch a vision of what church on the outside looks like. That church on the outside looks like getting together in our homes. Church on the outside looks like praying for each other when we get together and praying for those that aren't with us. It looks like studying the Bible together or watching a video series. It looks like doing worship together before a church service with whatever we have around rather than watching something on a screen. It looks like seeing our friends and our neighbors, not just as our friends and our neighbors, but also as members of our congregation that we're all trying to bring to God. It looks like intentionally building a group that actually loves and looks after each other and wants to desperately see God move and make a difference in their lives and other people's lives. Church on the outside looks like a whole bunch of other great ideas that God may not even give me. He may just give you directly. And it doesn't look like any one pattern, because that's the point, is that God's not tied to a pattern or a place, that we can build this kingdom right where we sit right now. It looks like refusing to let the church be known just as a place or a pattern, and showing the world that God is bigger and greater and more powerful than any problem that we can ever face. I saw this meme on Facebook, and it was God and the devil talking, and the devil said, "See, with this virus, I closed all your churches." And God responds, "Well, I'll just open a new one in every house." And here's where you come in. So at the end of this service, I said that we're going to do something a little different. And I said that you're going to need a pen and paper, something to write with, or your phone or whatever. So what we're going to be doing is when I finish here, I'm going to finish the last little bit of my message. I'm going to pray. I'm going to invite you back to come after the service around 12:15 for our live prayer through Facebook. But then we're going to take 10 minutes at the end of this service, and we've all got a little homework to do. And no, you do not have my permission to turn this service off yet. So here's a question that I want you to tackle. I'm going to give you 10 minutes. We're going to throw the question up on the screen. We're going to put a timer on, not for the sake of saying you can only take 10 minutes, but for the sake of you knowing, okay, when this is done, announcements are kicking in, just for structure. So there's this question that I want you to tackle. And I think that this is going to be an easier question because we've all been thinking about this. We've all been poring over this question in our heads, just maybe for a different reason. And so the question is this, is that God wants us to do church on the outside, so who am I going to do church with? Now, we've all been thinking about who these people that we want to see again, who these relationships that we want to have again. I guarantee if I ask you the question, whose house are you going to go over to for dinner once you're allowed to get out, you know the answer to that question already. So let's take this question. Who am I going to do church with? And this is sort of a two-sided question. The first side of it is, who do I want to see as my congregation? Who do I want to see as the relationships that are really important to me to minister to with my little micro home church? But the second part of this question is, who do I want to do this with? That even through the Bible, you see people being sent out in pairs, in small groups, people never went by themselves. You have lots of early leaders like Mark and Luke and Timothy who are going alongside other leaders. That God meant for us to not do things by ourselves. And so the first part of this question, who am I going to do church with, is this question, who is my congregation? Who are the people around me that I want to do church with? But the second part is who am I going to partner up with? Who am I going to work with to get this done? Now, don't try and figure out the how. Don't try and figure out the where or what you'll do or anything else. Right now, we're just hovering on this one question of who. Who is it that God is placing in my life to be a part of my little church for the next little while? And like I said, we'll put a timer on the screen. And I have confidence, and I know how the Holy Spirit works, is that if we've been watching this, that he's gonna place those names in your heart. And I want you to write them down. Even if you get a name and you go, that's a crazy idea, write it down. God is the God of crazy ideas sometimes. And this is on all of us. It's not just me. We're going to be doing this too as a family, but as a part of the church. We're all going to be joining in together and doing this. And if you're in this boat with me, I want to hear about it. Because I talked about that we're going to give you resources, we're going to give you training, we're going to equip you in any way that we can as a church to be able to make this work because we really believe in it. And so if that's you, I want you to reach out to me. If you're really feeling that press of like, yes, this is something I want to do, I want you to reach out to me. You can send me an email. I will put it on the screen. My email is john@parklandchurch.ca, John with no H. Or you can leave a comment on our Facebook page at some point, or you can leave a comment on the YouTube video and I'll check out those. You can send me a message if you have me on Facebook, send me a text if you have my cell phone, whatever it is, because we want to be able to research, or we want to be able to resource you. We want to be able to train you and equip you so that we can do everything we can to make sure this works, that there's no hurdles that you're going to hit where you go, whoa, that's not something I know how to handle, because that's our job as church leadership here. That's my job as pastor, to equip and to train up new leaders. But this is what God is doing. And if we want to see God do amazing things, we need to get in the boat. That one day, Jesus sent the disciples to go travel across the lake while he was sitting back on shore and he was praying. And then while the disciples were in the boat, this big storm hit. And they're experienced fishermen. So when they're saying it's a big storm, when they're saying something's going on, that they know what they're talking about. And right now we feel like we're in that storm. We feel like we're in that place where the boat's being rocked. And normally we have a handle on our life. We have a handle on what things look like. But things are just being turned upside down. And it's in this context that Jesus decides to walk across the water through the storm and walk up to the side of the boat. And so I promise you that in your storm, that you're going to see God do miraculous things. But Jesus wasn't there just to show off. He wasn't there just to walk across and say, hey, look at me, I'm God. This is awesome. That when he got there, the disciples were terrified. And Peter called out to him and said, Lord, if that's you, ask me to come out onto the water. And Jesus said, come. And so Peter stepped out of the boat and he began to walk on the water too. And so what I want you to take home from this is that God's calling us to get into the boat. Because until you're in the boat, until you're moving on that journey with God through the storms, you're not going to have that opportunity to step out of the boat and see the miraculous way that God can move you and use you to reach the world around you. So let's pray, and then we're going to put this question on the screen for 10 minutes. And I want to hear lots of amazing hope coming out of people. I want to get lots of messages to my inbox of people saying, yes, I'm in on this. Tell me more about it. And so again, my email address is john@parklandchurch.ca. We'll put it on the screen. And please reach out to me. And we'd love to be able to resource you more. We're going to be explaining more over the next couple weeks what this idea of church on the outside looks like. But right now, we're just inviting you. Do you want to come alongside us in this time right now? Let's pray. So God, we thank you for this word. We thank you that you haven't tied your kingdom to a place. You haven't tied your kingdom to a pattern. that we can build church right where we are, that we can have church in our living room, that we can have a church of our neighbors and our friends. God, we just pray for so much favor and open doors and open access for everyone to the people around them, that this would just be an awesome time of growth, not only for our church, but for all the people inside of our church too. God, that we're here to build your kingdom. We're here to expand your kingdom. And so help us to be able to do this. Help us to not sit back and wait for the church to reopen, and instead decide that we are the church as the people, as your word teaches, and go out into the world and be the church on the outside. In your name we pray. Amen.